begin here. I'm going to start with 293.
Expert.
Oh, okay. It's a bill that we had heard earlier, as Senate Bill 161. So this is the Committee on Regional Affairs, Senate Committee on Regional Affairs, Senator Stedman, Senator Wagner, and myself, Stevens. And as you recall, we did hear Senate Bill 161. That's on the stacking taxes. And we have a presentation here from on the House Bill 293. Yes, you can identify yourself, please.
For the record, I'm Casey Schroeder, legislative aide to Representative Thomas. I'm also a committee aide to the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee. And since you guys have heard this bill several times, I'm just available for questions if you have any. There were no changes made in the House, so it's exactly the same as the bill that you guys heard.
The bills are basically the same. Tell us again the idea of not stacking taxes, very briefly.
Basically, it just clears up current statutory language that allows the borough to avoid stacking taxes in areas that are already taxing themselves. So, for instance, if Fairbanks happens to have an 8% lodging tax and the borough decides to levy an 8% lodging tax, the borough can exempt Fairbanks so that it levels the playing field, so everybody is paying 8% instead of maybe Fairbanks paying 16%.
So. Thank you. Well done. Since we have heard this before and passed out, I'd appreciate a motion to move this. Or not.
I'll move it. I won't give it a recommendation.
Okay.
I'd move House Bill 293 with individual recommendations and fiscal notes.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, thank you very much. Any objection to that? Okay, thank you. And thank you. Okay, let's go on to House Bill 133 and then on to 217. So on House Bill 173, Ms. Moss, thank you for being here again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we do have an amendment that we'd like to propose.
Okay.
Actually,
Tim said that first. Stedman might consider proposing that amendment on behalf of Representative Coghill. Okay. Would you discuss this amendment with us,
Reneva? Yes, Mr. Chair. Several days ago, I talked to the city manager of Petersburg to discuss how this bill was going to affect him. And at that time, he didn't know that their petition, or was inferred to me, he was unaware of what type of petition they had. After receiving Mike Black's testimony yesterday, it became apparent that their petition is by aggregate vote, and they've been working on this petition for quite a while. I discussed it with Representative Coghill. We feel it would be very unfair to pull the rug out from under their feet. They've put a lot of time and money in this, so we want to propose this amendment so that it wouldn't stop their petition process as they currently have it.
Okay, thank you. We'll take a brief minute here.
Built out there from scratch, not necessarily people who went out and got a loan from a bank and built a nice $300,000 home. They're people that built as they could pay. They're people with fixed incomes. And quite honestly, if the borough were allowed to go to the Yukon River and annex everything and start charging property tax, many of those people would lose their homes.
Thank you, Ms. Moss. Any questions of Reneva? Senator Wagner.
I think I heard what you said last, but repeat your last statement about if the people were taxed a property tax and they have $400,000 homes, they'd lose their home?
Through the chair, Senator Wagner, no, that's not what I said. What I said was the homes you have 50, 60 miles from Fairbanks, let's say Live and Good in that area, they are pretty modest homes that were built as people could afford to buy the lumber to build them. And quite honestly, in the Fairbanks housing market right now, those are the homes that are the assessments are being raised on. because people can no longer afford to buy the $300,000 homes. So you have people 50, 60 miles from Fairbanks living on fixed incomes, living in moderate housing, that the potential is there to tax them, impose, I think our mill rate is between 18 and 21 mills now, impose a property tax on them, and they can't afford to pay the taxes.
Thank you. Further comments, questions? Anyone else curious to speak to us on this issue?
Could I make one last plea that this bill be moved on to state affairs? I know that Senator Terrio has some similar legislation moving through the process, and I'd like him to have the opportunity to review this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. I appreciate your comments, and I truly do. And I know the state affairs will have some legitimate concerns, but community and regional affairs also does have some responsibility in what happens to communities. And so I think we need to hold this over and have a chance to think about it before
okay.
we move ahead with it. So thank
okay.
you very much for your
thank
comments.
Thank you.
And we will then move ahead to the last issue today, which is House Bill 217.
Bill of the year.
Is that it?
I think so.
That's good.
On a sunny day.
Okay, from
trying to get you out of here.
Harris's office. You're the big guy here.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for the opportunity and thank you for taking up House Bill 217, especially at this late date. I'm just here to try to answer any questions. We have Pete Feldman online. Pete is works out of Speaker Harris's Delta office. Delta is the community that is the impetus for this bill. And I'm going to let Pete address the committee. Steve Van Sant, I believe, is also online, the state assessor, who can answer any questions in regards to this bill. So I'm going to turn it over to Pete if that's okay with you, Mr. Chairman.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Are you with us, Mr. Feldman?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Pete Feldman, staff for Representative John Harris. I also would like to thank you on behalf of the sponsor for taking this bill up at such a late time. House Bill 217 embodies a concept that was actually proposed by Honorable Senator Wilkin. And the language we actually extracted from a bill that was heard last year, I believe it was last year, in your committee. Mr. Chairman, committees that are forming boroughs that have oil and gas properties in their borough boundaries may not want to tax property as a means of raising revenue. Under House Bill 217, those communities may exclude the value of oil and gas properties from their overall value of their borough property. This would allow those communities to explore other forms of taxation to raise revenue needed to operate the borough and to pay their required four mills for schools. Mr. Chairman, House Bill 217 provides opportunity and choice to communities who wish to form local government. The opportunity is to form and fund affordable boroughs, and the choice is to raise revenue in new and creative ways. Mr. Chairman, having said that, Steve Van Zandt, I believe, is online with us today. And I also have the city manager, Pete Halgren. They would do a much better job at explaining and answering any questions that the committee may have.
Okay, thank you, Pete. I appreciate your comments. Let's go on to Steve Van Sant.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Okay, for the record, my name is Steve Van Sant. I'm the state assessor with the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. I'm here to answer questions, but I would like to just throw out a couple of numbers for your consideration. Under this bill, what we would do is we would exclude the value of oil and gas properties from a municipality's full value if they chose not to levy a property tax. in the Deltona borough area, we're looking at approximately $200 million worth of oil and gas properties, which the state currently receives revenue of in the neighborhood of $4 million. It's just a little less than $4 million. If we included this in the borough's full value, then they would have to use that $200 million. Education would get that and require them to contribute 4 mils of that towards their local contribution for education. In this case, that means they're going to have to raise an extra almost $800,000. That's at 4 mils. Obviously, that's not an easy amount to raise with sales tax or anything else. So they're almost being forced into levying a property tax. And if they levy a property tax, chances are it's not going to be 4 mils. It's going to be something greater than that. At 10 mils, that means they're going to be taking almost $2 million of revenue that the state's already receiving, so it's going to cut our revenue by another couple million dollars there. So that's kind of the gist of this, the main portion of this bill. The other part is the detachment, which just says that we will go back and reduce the prior 2 years' value if an area detaches from a borough, and that's because the education formula uses the prior 2 years for its funding. In other words, 2005, they're using 2003 values for that. So it's just a matter of simply saying we're going to deal with apples and apples, not oranges and apples. So in a nutshell, that kind of explains it, and I'd be happy to answer any other questions that there may be, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Steve. Do you see the passage of this bill in any way being a detrimental to the formation of boroughs?
Mr. Chairman, on the contrary, I think we see it as a an assistance in formation of boroughs. In the Deltona area, you know, I've been working there for the last year or so, and I know from firsthand experience that most people there do not want a property tax. There are several people, I think, that are looking at formation of a borough, but they do not want a property tax. This will allow a borough to form without forcing a property tax. So, to me, it is an incentive. I mean, that's my position on that, sir.
Thank you very much, Steve. Any questions, Mr. Van Sant?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Let's see. Now, you also said that you had Pete Halgren there. Is that right?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Please go ahead, Pete. Identify yourself, if you would, for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Pete Halgren. I'm currently the city administrator for the city of Delta Junction. The city has sponsored a Deltona Borough Charter Commission, which is ready to submit a borough formation petition to the local boundary commission for review and permission to circulate, hopefully leading toward a public election of all the citizens in the affected area. As the state assessor said, TAPS is valued at $200 million in our proposed borough area, and the state at the 20 mil statutory tax level on TAPS is currently getting about $4 million a year. The city would like to dissolve upon formation of the borough, because we don't need redundant local government, and turn its assets over to the new proposed borough. Local governments craft their services and tax structure to meet the local conditions. Four current boroughs have no property tax. Two have raw fish tax. The Denali borough has a mineral severance tax and a bed tax. The Northwest Arctic borough has a gold mine payment in lieu of tax PILT agreement, which pays over 95% of the Northwest Arctic borough's tax income. As the state assessor said, state statute requires a borough to annually contribute at least 4 mils the value of taxable property inside the borough toward education. Since currently the state is getting $4 million off the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, if we are forced to include the value of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline going through Delta, that means we've got to raise at least $800,000. That forces us into proposing a property tax to the voters, because the only way we can get a portion of the TAPS value by statute is to enact a local property tax. The Deltona Borough Charter Commission, instead of a property tax, would like to propose to the local voters a mix of funding sources containing an energy, a fuel, and electric tax, and a gold mine pilt agreement with the Pogo mine. In the end, we view passage of this bill as an enhancement to potential new borough formation throughout the unorganized borough, because there are other areas in the state which are looking at the potential for new large-scale taxpayers, be it new gold mines or other types of taxpayers. By avoiding the current statute, the statutory requirement to which would force you into a property tax, local areas can craft something I think that would fit their people and the businesses that they're taxing much better than a straight property tax. In the proposed Deltana borough, non-passage of this bill would cost the state at least $800,000 a year in lost revenue when we were forced to enact a property tax. So I know it gets confusing, but if you have any questions, I'd be happy to help try and answer them.
Any questions? Yes, Senator Stebbin. Pete, Kathy Wasserman and myself are sitting here. It's like old hometown era.
Well, I appreciate that, Senator. I'm at the low end of the totem pole these days, but I'd like to see you move up.
Yeah. I don't have any real problems with the bill. I just thought I'd say hello.
Well, I voted for you.
That's what they all say.
Okay, well, thank you very much, gentlemen. We also have Lamar Cotton. Mr. Cotton, are you also there?
I am, Mr. Chairman, but I feel like the comments from Mr. Hallgren and Van Sant really covered the topic adequately, and I'll just be on standby if there are questions for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any further comments? Anyone at the table? Any questions or comments you have, sir?
No, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Anybody in the room want to say anything?
Hi, Pete.
Senator Wagner.
I'd move House Bill number 217 with individual recommendations and fiscal note.
Thank you. Is there any objection to that? All right. It's moved out. Please adjourn.
Chairman.
So 133 and then on to 217. So on also 173, Ms. Moss, thank you for being here again.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, we do have an amendment that we'd like to propose.
Okay.
Actually, Tim said that first. Stebbin might consider proposing that amendment on behalf of Representative Coghill.
Would you discuss this amendment with us, Reneva?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Several days ago, I talked to the city manager of Petersburg to discuss how this bill was going to affect him. And at that time, he didn't know that their petition, or was inferred to me, he was unaware of what type of petition they had. After receiving Mike Black's testimony yesterday, it became apparent that their petition is by aggregate vote, and they've been working on this petition for quite a while. I discussed it with Representative Coghill. We feel it would be very unfair to pull the rug out from under their feet. They put a lot of time and money in this, so we want to propose this amendment so that it wouldn't stop their petition process as they currently have it.
Thank you. We'll take a brief question.
I move Amendment 1.
Thank you. Any objection to moving Amendment 1?
Oh, Jeff, can I explain?
You want to speak to it, or?
Sure, I'll speak to it. Okay. Amendment 1 would delete page 3 lines, I'm not quite sure, blurted out something to 20. Is it 11 to 20?
Mr. Chair, it's 15 through 20.
15 through 20. Okay, we'll take out lines 15 through 20, and we'll insert effective date of this act, and that has been initiated before the effective date of this act remains valid and subject to
AS-2905, several other ones, and regulations adopted under those provisions as those provisions and regulations read on the day before the effective date of this Act.
And Mr. Chairman, in layman's terms, what that says is this amendment deals with a petition pending but not completed. So if there is a petition pending on the effective date of this bill, they would work by the old rules, not the new rules.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you being here. We have a few people that want to speak to us. And we'll start with Steve Thompson from Fairbanks. Mayor Thompson.
I had to find the mute button. I testified last week earlier when you had a hearing on this. You didn't have everybody there. Mr. Chairman, I hear Senator Stedman is there and Senator Wagoner. I know there was only three of you last time, but I'm not sure which ones. I don't want to be repetitive about what I testified about a couple of days ago.
Well, I think it's probably a good idea. Steve, just go ahead and give us your thoughts, and don't feel rushed.
Okay, yeah, I do have, you know, the same three concerns. One was the history. The majority of our lawsuits in Fairbanks and in the beginning days of our community and also with Anchorage were mainly over annexation issues. Ours go back to where areas that are in the middle of our town now that are a big viable part of our community didn't want to be annexed, and now the same goes with Anchorage. I think Spinard was a big issue when Anchorage annexed them, and now they're right in the middle of downtown. And I think that those have to be taken into consideration when you're considering a municipality an annexing an adjacent subdivision or large area just adjacent to their city limits. I can understand what some of this concern is with far-reaching annexations by a borough that does not have an immediate effect on their adjacent boundary, but it's just expanding those borders over many, many miles. I can understand that, but you have to take into consideration a community that's trying to do economic development, and there's a parcel of land that's adjacent to their city limits. They want to go in and extend roads and storm drainage and prepare that area for utilities so that there will be room for expansion of the community. This would have an effect on that. If one person lived in a 1,000-acre plot out there that you're wanting to develop, that one person could vote no and the entire project would stop. So I think that's kind of something that has to be addressed and looked at. Plus then the other item that I brought out was that we're a town of 34 square miles with 30,000 people living in it, but majority of the people work in town and come into town to shop. 50,000 additional people come into our community. They expect to have police protection, fire and ambulance, the roads to be paved, potholes fixed, snow to be plowed when they come to their place of work. But then they leave and go back out to their homes, and we have to pay for those services provided to them. The majority of those people work in buildings in our community that are tax exempt also, so their employers don't have to pay. Our biggest employers are our hospital, tax exempt, state courthouse, tax exempt, the federal building, the borough and school district buildings, state DOT. There's thousands of employees that live outside of the city limits that drive into town, utilize the services we provide, but don't have to pay anything for them. At the last meeting, I know Ms. Moss commented that, yes, we do pay towards that. We buy driver's licenses and things, and we see zero of that money. There is not one penny comes to us from the state anymore. There is no other fees that they pay that would pay for our general operation of our general government and our police, fire, and public safety officials. So I think that you have to take those type of things into consideration when trying to restrict a sensible annexation and growth. There's about five ways at the present time that annexation can take place, and I really think that you have to take into consideration an annexation that is right on the borders that makes sense.
Thank you, Mayor Thompson. Would you list those 3 points you said again, that you had three major concerns?
Oh, one was just the history of annexations by municipalities of Anchorage and Fairbanks over the years, how that there were lawsuits fought years and years ago, and those areas that are now in the city that the communities prevailed on, those are right in the middle of the communities, the Spinard area in Anchorage, Grail and Slaterville and Hamilton Acres here in the middle of Fairbanks have proved out to be sensible, and they belong in the community. Those are right on the border of the city limits when you're trying to expand into an area to have people help pay for the services that they expect when they come into the community. The number two item possibly would be what I said, the annexation of an area. Because those people all work in town, they utilize and expect the services when they come into their jobs in town, but they don't pay anything towards those. Now I'm getting myself confused. That was the other big issue there. There was a third one, and I lost myself in the middle of it here.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes. I appreciate your taking the time to...
I remember now. If we were to do economic development-wise... annex a 1,000-acre plot that's right on our city limits border, and one person lived in that area, and we wanted to provide roads and sewer and drainage to develop it and get it ready for utilities for expansion of a housing subdivision or an industrial area, that one person could vote no, and that would kill the entire annexation that would make sense for economic development for a community.
Thank you. You're right. You said all those before, and I just didn't get them all down. Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Any questions, Mayor Thompson? Thank you, sir. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Let's go on to Homer and Pete Roberts. Pete, how are you today?
I'm fine, Senator. Nice to hear you there. I'm Pete Roberts, Box 1134 Homer. I'm president of an organization called Citizens Concerned About Annexation. I also want to testify on this bill, and the mayor of Fairbanks has some good points, but I think he misses some really major points in our American citizen a system, and that is the citizen. We had a real problem down here in Homer because a number of the city fathers here, the politicians, decided they wanted to expand the city and essentially 3.5 times the size it originally was. And they didn't either go to the people in the city of Homer to see if they thought this was a good idea. They didn't, sure as hell didn't come to the people they wanted to annex in the area. And we had a major fight that cost the city and the state a lot of money. And it was trimmed back to a more or less reasonable size, from 25 square miles down to about 4.5. My point here is simply, I think that the people in the area to be annexed should be part of it. I think that the city needs to offer something perceivable to them, not a tax bill. And in the case of Fairbanks, and Homer said the same thing, I don't know if Fairbanks has a sales tax. My recollection is that they do, and their neighbors then pay a good portion of the revenue of running the city. And if they don't have a sales tax and they need to raise revenues, maybe they need to consider it. In Homer, sales taxes account for 2/3 of the general revenue budget. So anybody who says the out-of-towners don't shoulder a burden and provide for the cost of running services in the area is flat out a liar. And we heard that regularly down here. So, back to Bill 133, I think it should be passed. I think the people in the city should see if it's a good idea from their perspective, and I think that the people in the area to be annexed should be also have a vote. You know, this is a country in which we consider that we have a government of the people, by the people, and for the people, not some bureaucrats somewhere sitting in City Hall or in Juneau. And the other thing I'd like to see is an amendment or another law that says that under legislative review for attachments and such, the legislature should have to vote that up, not vote that down. We found that we couldn't make a reasonable case to bring the issue and have it voted down. That's ridiculous when somebody is changing the political makeup that you live under, and you've got to plead to the legislature to even consider it. So I urge you all to vote for passage of Bill 133. Thanks very much.
Well, thank you, Pete. Good to hear from you again, and hope to see you soon. We'll go on to a couple other people who want to speak to us. Mike Black. Do you want to testify, Mr. Black?
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, please go ahead.
My name is Mike Black. I'm the director of the Division of Community Advocacy in the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. My mailing address is 550 West 7th Avenue, Suite 1640, Anchorage, Alaska, 99501. I prepared a letter for the committee. I'm hoping that you've gotten a copy of it, and it details further what I will summarize here. But in summary, we find a disagreement with the interpretation of the bill with the sponsor. Mainly, the department sees this bill and characterizes the legislation as providing another option to the local boundary commission for conducting local action elections in relation to municipal annexations. And as has been the practice of the LBC, provisions that are described in Section 3 of AS 2906-040C provide a list of methods for conducting local action elections. Now, House Bill 133 adds a provision that annexations may be required to be approved by a majority of the votes on the question cast by voters residing in the annexing municipality. In other words, the department views this method as set out in the AS 2906-040C as being essentially all these different methods as being independent of one another. And we're confident in our interpretation based essentially upon the historical record of the use of Section 3 provisions as it regards the LBC's actions. Now, as far as Section 5, I believe that we did have an issue with Petersburg that it has been dealt with through your amendment. Again, under our interpretation, it would not have affected Petersburg anyway, because it only provided another option. Therefore, the department really has no objection to the bill based upon our interpretation of it. And I just want to thank you for the ability to make those comments.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Black. Any response to Mayor Thompson's comment, concerns about one person stopping development, economic development in an annexation? Any thought on that?
I certainly would have the same problems if in fact we had interpreted it that a municipality could not annex an area based on the votes of a few individuals or in the area to be annexed. Certainly that would put a severe restriction upon the ability of the municipality to provide services to areas and still get some reimbursement for the use of those services. So I would have some of those same concerns. However, I don't believe that this bill will present that problem to it.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Black. Any questions? Thank you, Mike. Alan LeMaster from Copper Valley. Are you with us, Alan?
Yes, are you there?
Yes, we hear you clearly. Please go ahead. If you identify yourself.
Okay. This is Alan LeMaster. I'm in Gakona, Alaska, P.O. Box 222, Gakona, 99586. I have been fairly active in keeping an eye on what's going on around our community. We're in the Copper Valley. We're surrounded by Valdez and Delta, Matsu, all of which are either already a borough or in the process of taking a look at it. And some of the people in those areas have an eye.
Have we lost?
Are you there now?
Yes, you're back.
Okay, I'm sorry. What concerns me about this bill is that the way I'm reading it, and I have to tell you, I'm not an expert in this, but from what I'm reading in this, It appears we have another problem that is similar but different than the two that we just heard from the previous speakers, and that is, consider for a moment that our REAA, which is and would be someday a borough if there ever was to be one down here, consists of an area that goes from about mile 45 on the Richardson Highway up to about Paxson and somewhere up around Mendeltna over to the Canadian border. It's a fairly large area. If this bill were to pass, I can see that it would be conceivable that we could be cherry-picked to death up here, and by that I mean that as I'll just give a hypothetical. Let's assume for a moment that either maybe the Kinney Lake area, which is a small community in the southern part of our REAA, or maybe a couple of communities on the eastern side of our REAA, outside of the National Park Service, west of the National Park Service, were to decide that they wanted to become a borough. Well, they could define their borough boundaries to include the pipeline for the purpose of gaining huge dollars and have very little responsibility to the schools because they would have only one small school to have to be responsible to. And the rest of our entire area would have no say in whether or not that happened because the only people that would be voting for that borough would be these two little areas that are within what we would consider to be the potential of a Copper Valley borough. And therefore, we could end up with two or three or four little tiny boroughs in what really should be one borough, which would be the REAA, our Copper Valley School District. And it would be cherry-picking our schools apart up here, and that could present some really difficult issues. I've discussed this a little bit with some of the people at the local boundary commissions, and the way they are reading this bill, it is they say I'm not too far off. And I think it's an issue that I brought up to Representative Harris, who brought it up to Representative Coghill. I got a response back, but it was non-responsive to the issue itself. I just wish that somebody out there would take a hard look at what could happen to an area like ours if small areas within our potential borough someday were to cherry-pick us and take all the valuable products, i.e. our pipelines and pump stations, and put it within their borough for the dollar and leave the rest of the borough to have to fend to try to become something on their own. It would put us in a very difficult position.
Thank you, Mr. Lamaster. I'm sorry we seem to be fading in and out there, but have you said everything you wanted to say, Alan?
Yes, that's I've said all.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate your being with us. Anyone else that cares to speak to us at this time?
Chairman, can I respond to a couple of things? This bill, the situation in Copper Valley is not going to change with this bill. That situation could happen right now under existing law, what he fears. As far as the Local Boundary Commission, their interpretation of Section 3, if you look on page 2, line 22, after the third provision, it says, and. In our legislative drafting manual, it says that after deciding whether to use and or, after deciding is appropriate in a listing of several items, include the and or the or only between the last two items in the list, not between each item. So you're reading each item like it is a comma, and then at the third item or the what is just prior to the last item, the word and is inclusive. And that's really all I have to say, I think. Again, Mayor Thompson, I understand his concerns, but what this bill is dealing with is an aggregate vote regulation that is not covered statutorily. In fact, it's contrary to statute. And using the roads in Fairbanks, most of your thoroughfares in Fairbanks are maintained by DOT. The people who live 40, 50 miles from Fairbanks are people who have built out there from scratch not necessarily people who went out and got a loan from the bank and built a nice $300,000 home. They're people that built as they could pay. They're people with fixed incomes, and quite honestly, if the borough were allowed to go to the Yukon River and annex everything and start charging property tax, many of those people would lose their homes.
Thank you, Ms. Ross. Any questions of Bernabe?
Again, Mayor Thompson, I understand his concerns, but what this bill is dealing with is an aggregate vote regulation that is not covered statutorily. In fact, it's contrary to statute. And using the roads in Fairbanks...
Repeat your last statement about if the people were taxed, the property tax, and they have $300,000 and some, $400,000 homes, they'd lose their homes.
Chair, Senator Wagner, no, that's not what I... 50, 60 miles from Fairbanks, let's say Live and Good in that area. They are pretty modest homes that were built as people could afford to buy the lumber to build them. And quite honestly, in the Fairbanks housing market right now, those are the homes that are the assessments are being raised on because people can no longer afford to buy the $300,000 homes. So you have people 50, 60 miles from Fairbanks living on fixed incomes, living in moderate housing that... The potential is there to tax them, impose, I think our mill rate is between 18 and 21 mills now, impose a property tax on them, and they can't afford to pay the taxes.
Thank you. Any comments, questions? Anyone else curious to speak to us on this issue? You're ready, sir.
Please go ahead, Renee. Could I make one last plea that this bill be moved on to state affairs? I know that Senator Terrio has some similar legislation moving through the process, and I'd like him to have the opportunity to review this legislation.
Thank you, Mr. Moss. I appreciate your comments, and I truly do. And I know state affairs will have some legitimate concerns, but community and regional affairs also does have some responsibility in what happens to communities and so I think we need to hold this over and have a chance to think about it before we move ahead with it. So thank you very much for your comments.
You.
And we will then move ahead to the last issue.